This is Spinning on Air. I'm David Garland. Very glad to be able to welcome back to the WNYC studio guitarist, composer, and singer Will Stratton. Will, welcome back.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
You were here about 4 years ago. It was 2010. And time has passed. And for you, there have been some big events. In one of your songs, you use the phrase that you almost died.
Yeah.
In a blog post, you say you've had a year of indescribable physical pain and torment.
Yeah, that's, it wasn't that I was so much in torment that whole year. In some ways, it was a pretty great year. But I went through some pretty intense treatment for late stage testicular cancer that had spread to to one of my lungs and to my liver and to various areas around my abdomen. Some of which, the byproducts of which were not cancerous, but still had to be dealt with and removed. And so I went through a few surgeries and several rounds of chemotherapy and lost a bunch of weight, lost a bunch of hair, gained the weight back, and then some, gained the hair back for the most part, except for the consequences of, you know, the precipice of middle age. I'm doing great now, and that year of pain was certainly a productive and educational one in a lot of ways.
Hmm. Did it affect your music?
Yeah, definitely. The one thing I think I've really learned about the music that I wrote over that time was that for once I wasn't really preoccupied with achieving something or being somebody or reaching for some sort of musical goal. It was really all kind of aspirational in a different sense. I was writing about feeling better and being better, both mentally and physically, before I actually had finished getting better. So some of these songs are about the treatment itself. Some of them are about the feeling of looking back on the period of my treatment where I was living in a pretty isolated place. I was living with my parents outside of Seattle where I don't have very many friends to speak of. I have a few very great friends, and I've got my parents, of course. But it was definitely a time of intense healing and also a time where I didn't really have exposure to a lot of external stimuli socially or culturally. So it was a very introspective time for me musically.
Well, your new body of songs is coming out in the form of an album entitled Grey Lodge Wisdom.
Yes.
I want to hear the origins of that title and more about the music, but let's give listeners a chance to hear your work. Will Stratton, I think, one of the more creative, resourceful, and meaningful songwriters who's active these days. And now the music's informed by these circumstances we've just described. Let's hear how it's coming together.
Okay.
Hey, you're looking great, by the way.
Thank you. This song's called The Arrow Darkens. Natural beauty, or is this all just a temporary feeling? As the poison courses onward and the wheels skid along the path to healing, lest we forget all of the times that we have been struck down by self-deception, let the sun in through the forest. Let us bask under the strength of its reflection. And I resolve to come back stronger than before. With every instinct pacing, hungry at the door. The half Did you explore along the coastline as the fireworks flickered down a silent mile each side? As we struggled with the bonfire, Olympic wind stronger in the moonlight. It all came to fruition, the tide receding further after sunset. We had our own sun hissing gladly, taking all the driftwood that we gave it. And I resolved to come back stronger than before, with every instinct pacing, hungry at the dawn. The habit cowed by stronger memories than pain. The arrow darkens and recalibrates its aim.
Will Stratton, The Arrow Darkens, performed here in the WNYC studio. Will, what is the arrow that's darkening and recalibrating its aim?
I guess to strike a kind of cheesy note, it's just my purpose in life. I've been kind of fixated on arrow imagery for a long time. When I was a kid, I was really kind of obsessed with Robin Hood. And something about the image of an arrow flying through the air is so satisfying to me and very kind of pure in its intent, because even if it has an arc, when it's flying through the air, you know, its course is already kind of predetermined. And so for an arrow to already be flying through the air and then to kind of change course, that's what I was thinking about with that image.
Hmm. Were you hoping to change what seemed like an inevitable course of the illness, or?
No, at the time when I wrote the song, I was not completely done with treatment, but I was well on my way to being done. And even when I had, you know, when I was just starting treatment, when I actually got the diagnosis and the prognosis, I'd known that I was ill for a while, and I put off going to the doctor. And
you knew because you felt ill.
Yeah, yeah. And
but you hadn't had a diagnosis.
I hadn't had a diagnosis, but I knew I was sick. And so by the time I got the prognosis, it was largely positive. I mean, there was the chance of a terrible outcome, but the fact that there was a path forward by that point was a very hopeful thing to me. So the song's really just about kind of reorienting and looking at my priorities again after having gone through the majority of this illness. And as it turns out, I haven't really changed that much in terms of what I'm doing and what I'm pursuing. But I think there's kind of a renewed gravity and levity toward everything.
Hmm. A renewed levity? That's nice.
Yeah.
I'm speaking with Will Stratton. He's referring to his recent illness, diagnosed with cancer that required a lot of surgery and a lot of treatments, but he has recovered, I'm happy to say. And did you find it hard to address your illness and your recovery in song? That's quite a challenge to do it in a sort of meaningful and convincing and effective way.
Well, I guess I never really looked at it as addressing the issue of cancer explicitly. It was always kind of cast in more abstract terms when I was writing these songs. So I guess in a way I kind of sidestepped the issue. I really didn't want to make an album that was just about cancer. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have for these songs to have resonance for people in all sorts of situations, whether they're dire circumstances or not. So I chose to look at a little bit more obliquely, both because that's more convenient for me as a writer who doesn't really like to talk in specifics, and also just because I thought that would be, in the end, more appealing, both as a performer who has to, you know, sing these songs once I'm past the illness, and just as a listener. I thought it would make more sense to people.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear another song.
All right.
This is Fate Song. You use it to close the new album, Grey Lodge Wisdom.
Yes.
But you're performing it here. And this addresses the desire for some sort of transcendence, right?
Yeah. I'm not really a deistic person, but I think you hear this a lot from people who had kind of a lengthy brush with mortality. You want to be able to reach for something more than yourself to point to as a reason that you're still here. So I guess the song is kind of about that, as more of an agnostic person wanting that that sort of external validation.
Mm. And I guess the desire to give thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, honestly, that's kind of a regret of mine on this record. I never really thanked my family or my friends explicitly, and I didn't really figure out a way to do that eloquently. And so I think this song is kind of the closest that I came. When I'm referring to wanting to thank a god, it's kind of in lieu of thanking the many people who actually did help me through this. So take that for what it is, I guess.
Well, you can tell them right now.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. It's great to still be here, and it's great to be able to have all of you in my life. It's fantastic.
Here's Fate Song by Will Stratton.
Got no plot to my name, no fortune waiting for me still, and my own self's to blame for the fear that almost got me killed, and for the surgeon's blade that opened up my veins. So I must thank some god that I am alive today. Last of the morphine's gone, the needle swept away, I've taken the last of my pills, and the clouds lift from my brain. I greet the warm light of the dawn, alive and ever sane. So I must thank some god that I'm alive today. skies filled with the open eyes of the last few years I've known. Each empty expanse full of life I'm seen and unresolved. All roads awaken up at night, unwinding without sound. So I must thank some God that I am still around.
Will Stratton performing Fate Song here in the WNYC studio on Spinning on Air. I'm David Garland. Will is back. He was on the show for the first time back in 2010, almost exactly 4 years ago. And he's back now with new music and having recovered from a serious illness.
Yeah.
Cancer.
Yeah.
And the next song has an interesting attitude to it, even in its title, like, yeah, I'll requite your love.
Yeah, I don't know quite how to explain that. You go through all these sort of weird emotional phases when you move back in with your parents after a long time, and when you suddenly are the recipient of all of this familial and fraternal love, and you don't really know what to do with it. So that's where I came up with that phrase.
Maybe we should point out it wasn't that long ago that you might have been a kid living in your parents' house.
No, it
wasn't. How old
are
you now?
I'm 27, but yeah, so there were a few years there of at least the illusion of independence.
So you were sort of a reluctantly loving son? Is that the implication of the title?
I don't think I was really reluctantly loving. It's just when you are suddenly the focus of attention again, and when there are so many people who are very rightfully worried about you, sometimes it's hard to deal with that. And it's true in kind of a romantic sense too, I guess. I guess any situation where you're suddenly confronted with the fact that other people care really deeply about you. If you took that for granted, or if you just forgot about it for a while, it can be jarring.
Some people would thrive on that, I think.
Yeah, and I think I do thrive on it when I'm in a good state of mind. But I guess this song is more about those other times.
Here's Will Stratton performing again in the WNYC studio.
Lost in the race, yeah, all the requests. quite your love. Yeah, I'll requite your love. My home, like I've missed the summer fires. When at night the air was cool and thick with desire, but the days were long and they were longer than we knew. To take it all for granted, come back here for you. Yeah, I'll requite your love. Yeah, I'll requite your love. Yeah, for wisdom, wisdom is for those with time. All I've got is a headache and a taste for the divine. Who knows if you'll cure me? Who knows if I'll help you at all? But we owe each other favors, might as well heed that call. Yeah, I'll requite your love. 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 Yeah, I'll requite your love.
Will Stratton performing in the WNYC studio, his song, Yeah, I'll Requite Your Love. It's on his brand new album, Grey Lodge Wisdom. Now, Will, in the song, you say you have no use for wisdom because wisdom is for people with time. You say something to that effect.
Yeah.
And yet the album is called Grey Lodge Wisdom.
Yeah, and in the title track, you know, I say there is no God, and then in the last track, I say, I must thank some God. So I was trying to embrace contradictions, I guess, on this record because I felt a lot of contradictory things when I was making it. That's the best explanation I have for all of the inconsistency.
What is the meaning of the title, Grey Lodge Wisdom? I wondered if it was a quote from a poem, but I think not.
It's not, no. I was rewatching the television show Twin Peaks, and in the show Twin Peaks, there's the White Lodge, and there's the Black Lodge, and the Black Lodge sort of typifies evil, and it's where the evil forces on the show come from, and the White Lodge is good. And I just felt very ambiguous during the course of the last year. Sometimes I felt fantastic and other times I felt terrible. And so I tried to embrace that and I tried to cultivate it, I guess, and to sum it up in that title. And I think part of it was about being in the hospital. That could have been the Grey Lodge, or it could have been my parents' house. It could have just been the Northwest in general, because it was a very gray place, as it usually is. And so I guess there are a lot of multiple meanings. The wisdom part is just intended to signify that this is sort of a period of my life that I'm tying off and trying to look back on as instructive for the future.
Mm. So seeking the wisdom there.
Yeah.
Trying to learn the wisdom yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to have more with Will Stratton as we continue here on Spinning on Air. And that'll be in just a moment here on 93.9 FM WNYC and WNYC.org.
Download the new WNYC app and start using our brand new feature called Discover. Pick a few topics and how long you want to listen. Discover will load up a custom playlist you can listen to offline. Get 40 minutes of news, arts, and politics for your evening commute, or an hour of stories about food and business for your next workout. Get the WNYC app today and discover radio on your own time at WNYC.org/mobile.
WNYC is supported by the Irish Repertory Theatre, presenting the Irish love story, Sea Marks. A fisherman kindles a long-distance romance and then must choose between the life he loves and the love of his life. April 23rd through June 15th, tickets at irishrep.org. WNYC gratefully acknowledges the backing of our corporate underwriters, and we would like to add your business to our diverse list of supporters. To become a WNYC underwriter, call Senior Director Lori Pracher at 646-829-4477.
This is Spinning on Air. I'm David Garland. With me in the WNYC studio is Will Stratton, a young composer and songwriter who's got a new album called Grey Lodge Wisdom. And among the many things it addresses his tumultuous year recovering from cancer, serious operations, serious chemotherapy. You say in one of your songs that you almost died. Is that so?
That might be putting it a little dramatically. There was one surgery in particular where it was pretty close to the brink, I guess. It was very long and invasive. Mm. So certainly things could have gone wrong, and thankfully they didn't go wrong.
When were you able to play the guitar again?
Well, I played pretty continuously, with the exceptions of the time when I was too weak to. But even when I was in the hospital after the most major of those surgeries, my guitar was brought in to me, and I would kind of hammer away at it with my hand. I could get it so that there was a tuning, which was basically a chord that I could play for a minute before it tired me out.
Wow.
But I definitely lost the dexterity and had to kind of work on that again.
Hmm.
But yeah, it was my primary, coping mechanism was playing and writing.
Mm, that was your idea? You said, I need this?
Yeah, well, it was partially my idea. I think when you're in the hospital, if there's something that they can bring to you to kind of keep your mind going, they try and do that.
Sure.
So that was probably the first thing that occurred to my parents and to the nurses and doctors as well. But it was a good thing to have there, even when I couldn't really make anything called music on it.
Hmm. Wow. But you did write some of these new songs in the process of your recovery. It wasn't when you were done that these started to come.
Yes. I think only one or two of these I actually wrote after I was done. And at that point, I was still going through physical therapy and stuff to kind of regain my muscles and everything. But yeah, most of them were written during the process, to varying degrees.
Hmm. I think for any songwriter, there's a craft involved in songwriting, and you bring your intellect to it, but you also want there to be kind of an urgency to the song and to the songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
Did this give you that, or had you not lacked it?
That's a good question. I'm not sure how to answer that, actually. I guess I feel... I feel that urgency pretty regularly, and I think I always have, partly because I want so very much to let go of these songs once they're written and to move on to the next thing and to make another record and another record. So it's kind of a compulsion for me. Uh-huh. And this was the first time in a long time where I was confronted with having too much time on my hands, ironically enough, just because I was not able to do so many of the other things that I do. I wasn't able to work, which takes up most of my time. Mm. And I wasn't able to see friends very much or to go outside. So it was a time where I had, when I wasn't in the hospital, I had a surplus of time suddenly. And then that surplus was taken away from me and then given back to me and then taken away and so on.
As the treatments went on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I would have one infusion and then I would be in the hospital for a little over a week straight. And then I would be out for another 2 weeks and then back in. So I did that mm-hmm. four times in a row. So that kind of messes with your schedule a little bit.
But then when you had all that free time, you were kind of, were you trapped there with your music or your music was your way out or what?
Yeah, music was my way out, definitely. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel trapped. I mean, occasionally I'd get a little stir crazy as anybody would, but I was really thankful to be where I was and I was having a fairly pleasant time with my parents too. I like them. So it wasn't all bad. I don't know if it was an ideal creative environment.
Probably not. But you made the most of it. And the new album is a really good listen. Some great songs. There have been several other Will Stratton albums going back to 2007 and What the Night Said, then there's No Wonder, New Vanguard Blues, Post Empire, and there's an EP in there and more. Mm-hmm. So these can be found on your Bandcamp.
Yep, page. They're all on Bandcamp. And if you want physical versions of the later ones, you have to import them. I'm on a label in Europe. I don't have a label here in the States at the moment. Hmm. But people who want vinyl and stuff, they can Google me, find it pretty easily.
Okay, and I'll provide some links, too, on the page for tonight's Spinning on Air at wnyc.org. Will Stratton is with me, presenting us with some of his new songs. And this is a nice one, Wild Rose.
Yeah, this is about my girlfriend.
All right.
Seen you again both 6 years back and when I got so sick but then I lived when we met perhaps something was already there a rapid glance a slower stare oh what I'd give me once without my scars running down my chest like a river in the dark for us to be so guileless and free that each mistake would snap just like a bough on a tree too young and too forlorn
to understand how things go, how they wander and they mend and turn up unexpected cold and wait to be brought in. So I'll put my hand around your love and hope that it's just enough to keep the warmth up, and you'll speak just like you breathe, as clear and as sweet as the Adriatic Sea.
A love song from Will Stratton, Wild Rose, performed here in the WNYC studio. Loving your family, loving a person, these are things you've spoken of. What about loving a place? I guess that's part of the subject of the next song, right?
Yeah, yeah. This was not really a song about a specific place. It was just kind of a beseeching sort of song, just a question I was posing to myself and trying to figure out where I was going to be next, really. Because when I was ill, I had the opportunity to speculate about where I would end up. And for the time being, I've ended up back here. And I do really like it here.
You're living in Brooklyn.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess this is one of the more abstract songs on the record, in that it's not about a specific memory of mine or something that I was trying to achieve or anything like that. It's just kind of a series of questions.
Hmm. But important ones. You know, as simple as the question, do you love where you live, seems to be, it's actually, the answer might be very complicated, or the answer might throw your life off balance.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. And I think it's an important thing to ask yourself every once in a while. And it's not necessarily just about the location. It's about everything.
Yeah.
Do you love how you live and who you're living with and all of that?
Well, let's hear it performed here in the WNYC studio. Will Stratton is sharing his songs with us here on Spinning on Air.
Okay. Thank you.
wisely and choose by the wind you barely hear. Choose someone kind and someone dear. Go find your love. It doesn't matter if they're far or they are near. Just see them close and see them clear. Go see your love.
Will Stratton. Do You Love Where You Live, performed here in the WNYC studio. It also appears on his new album, Grey Lodge Wisdom. I'm David Garland. I'll have more with Will in just a moment here on Spinning on Air on 93.9 FM WNYC and WNYC.org.
While we can't write tomorrow's news stories today, we can help ensure that WNYC remains strong and vibrant for the next generation. A legacy created through your will, qualified retirement plan, or life insurance policy may provide you with tax and other financial benefits, and allow millions of others to enjoy the news, conversations, and cultural programs you value on WNYC. Call 646-829-4587 or email legacygiving@wnyc.org.
WNYC support comes from cultural arts partner, the Performing Arts Center Purchase College, presenting Michael Feinstein's The Gershwins and Me, May 3rd, 8 p.m., 914-251-6200 or artscenter.org.
WNYC, 93.9 FM, AM 820, and WNYC.org.
This is Spinning on Air. Will Stratton joining me, David Garland. He was here 4 years ago, but is now back with some new songs and a sort of renewed sense of life, maybe. I don't know. Is it too much to say that you have a renewed sense of purpose after your illness?
I don't know. Some of those things I think kind of wear off after a while, or at least you begin to feel more normal. And maybe it's just that the effects don't wear off, but they become more a part of you, and so they feel less new. I'm not really sure. But I feel good, and I feel like there's lots of possibility out there in all sorts of senses.
You're going to be going on tour.
Yes. Not really in the States so much, but at least for the time being. But I'm going to Iceland and France and Spain, Portugal, and then to a bunch of other countries in Western Europe.
Wow, that sounds cool.
And yeah, it'll be great. It's the second time I'm going to Europe, and first time I'll be going to Spain and Portugal. So I'm excited about that.
It was during your previous European tour that you really came to realize that you were sick. Is that right?
Yeah. And at that point, I was still feeling pretty good. So it wasn't... I guess that kind of feeds into maybe not the sense of denial, but the feeling like you can wait to deal with this kind of emerging problem. And for me, that kind of fed into a sense of apathy that was certainly very damaging in the long term.
Apathy that led you to not search for a doctor and a diagnosis.
Yeah. And I think that's a fairly common thing, not only with testicular cancer, but with all kinds of cancer. It's you know, one of the reasons that it's such a terrible disease is that it can just kind of linger there. And the fear that the effects that it has on people who know that something is wrong lead them sometimes, like in my case, to choose the easier way out in the short term, which is the much, much more difficult way out in the long term.
And that's to ignore the problem.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're with me, and I'm glad you're playing music for us again here on Spinning on Air. George Wellington is our engineer, and as all listeners can hear, you're a wonderful guitarist.
Thanks.
And that sounds very present on the new album, Grey Lodge Wisdom, but there are other sounds as well.
Yeah. First and foremost, there are a few vocalists that lent me their talents. Tamara Lindman, a wonderful Canadian songwriter who I've played with before. She goes by the name The Weather Station. And Holly Fulbrook, a great New Zealand songwriter. She goes by the name Tiny Ruins. They both sing on the record. Tamara also wrote one of the verses of the title track. And Maya Friedman, who's a longtime friend of mine and a great, great singer, she sang on this record and she sang on my last record as well. And there are a lot of strings on the record, most of which were arranged by other people. Alexander Overington, who we just ran into in the hallway. he's a great guy. He wrote the string arrangement for Dreams of Big Sur. And Nico Muley, somebody who I've admired for a long time, he wrote the string arrangement for Do You Love Where You Live? And Sarah Kirkland Snyder, who's one of my favorite composers, she wrote two string arrangements, both of which I thought came out terrific. And the string players as well were just fantastic. We carved out a significant amount of time in this studio to get that done. As much as I could afford, really, which was about 6 hours, and we ended up getting all of the arrangements done in about 3 hours, I think.
Oh,
so
wow.
they're crack players.
Good. Yes, it sounds beautiful. So, folks, I will provide a link to the Bandcamp page for Will Stratton, where you can listen to the music and acquire it if you choose. And we're going to have more in the studio. The next piece is called If You Wait Long Enough. And that's also the title of a sort of a benefit album of people covering your music. And I was pleased to be asked to participate in that. So I did a cover version of one of your songs.
Yeah, thank you for that, by the way. a bunch of friends of mine got together and did that for me. With the state of healthcare and the insurance industry and all that. I was insured when I got sick, but it wasn't particularly good insurance. So I got transferred over to my parents' insurance, which was good insurance. And so a lot of my costs were covered. I incurred a lot of costs that I had to really fight to be paid. And notably, my mom had to fight to be paid. She did a terrific job with that. Mm. But by and large, that's behind me now, thanks in part to the efforts of my brother and to the efforts of everybody who worked on that compilation that ended up going, straight into my PayPal account and then straight into the hands of the insurance companies, but in a good way. It was really a terrific load off my mind.
It's a nice album. I mean, as I say, I'm pleased to be included on it, but lots of other people who I knew and didn't know of are on the album. The songs, which haven't really been interpreted up to this point in your career, proved to be something really interesting to work with. The song I chose, Vile Bodies, is full of these uneven bar lengths and stuff like that, all sorts of little surprises that it was important to me to be true to, and which I had a lot of fun discerning and discovering and grappling with when I created my version.
Yeah, that's great. I hope that compilation has served as an introduction to a bunch of really great musicians for some people who didn't know about them. Mm. And in several cases, I think that the recordings that people did are, at least to me, more interesting and fun to listen to than my own recordings. So I encourage people to check that out.
Well, I don't know if I feel that way, but I'm glad you do. Let's hear the song that you wrote, which gives the compilation its title, If You Wait Long Enough. Which of your albums did this appear on?
This was on Post Empire, so it's my previous album. And at that point, I don't think that I was sick, or at least I didn't know that I was sick at that point. But the title of the song kind of has some morbid implications if you think about it in that context. But really, it's a song about just holding out for better things in life, I guess. And it's definitely it's one of the more abstract songs that I've written, I think, just in terms of it lends itself to all sorts of different interpretations.
Hmm.
die pretty. Don't die crass. Just stay with me until the morning all come to pass. Don't die bitter. Don't die young. Just stay with me till the morning and we all will have won. If you wait long enough. If you wait long enough. If you wait long enough, if you wait long enough.
Will Stratton performing in the WNYC studio, If You Wait Long Enough. Will, it's been great to have you back again. So good
Thank
to
you.
See you looking and apparently feeling so well.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here.
And it's good to have a new batch of songs from you.
Thanks.
Congrats on your recovery from cancer and congrats on the new album, which is called Grey Lodge Wisdom.
Thank you.
And again, I'll provide some links to more information about Will Stratton, and I'll embed some videos. So go to WNYC.org and search out Spinning on Air and tonight's program on Will Stratton. You have one more song, a brief one, that I particularly want to hear you play, because I haven't really talked to listeners about this, but I'm these days living part-time upstate in the Hudson Valley, which I'm finding to be a beautiful environment and a nice complement to my life in the city. And you've got a nice little song that will promote some tourism.
That was exactly my intention. I went up to Hudson the first time a few years ago and just really...
The town of Hudson?
The town of Hudson and kind of the neighboring towns, Kinderhook and Volusia and some other towns around there, and just really loved it and, you know, fantasized about retiring there someday. So that's kind of what this song is about.
It's called Long Live the Hudson River Valley. And Will Stratton, this will be your final song here on Spinning on Air. Thanks again.
Thank you.
I've seen a bit of Amsterdam and a bit of Prague. I've seen a bit of London twice in between the fog. I've seen the non-cathedral and the Barcelona beach, and Dublin and Vienna and a dozen more of each. But long live the Hudson River Valley. Spent a year in exile in the forest of the deep. The clouds are mouth thick overhead, the spirits that they keep. The wonderment of opening your eyes in a place. The resignation falling with the scales on your face. Oh, long live the Hudson River Valley. Near the place where I was born, I've shed the last remains of my self-pity and self-scorn. I've come across the embers that are left of my old ways. Oh, I'll come up to Valencia and I'll set them all ablaze. Oh, long live the Hudson River Valley. Off New York City like a fluke inside a toast, and still I must return to always hold its heartbeat close, until I can retire far upstate where I can hear the silence that my own heart has now come to cherish dear. Oh, long live the Hudson River, long live the Hudson River, long live the Hudson River Valley.